Welcome, everybody, to Overdunk Episode 3. I am Zoinks, part caster for Unite Mics, and I am joined with two members of a currently unnamed squad, but coming from plenty of named squads that you've heard them from before. Welcome, Dexter and Snowpoints, to the show. How you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Good.
Good, good. Awesome. So, like I said, you guys are currently on an unnamed squad, but you have a roster that you've been throwing around, grinding out on ladder, entering into a little bit of tournaments, I heard, maybe having a late alarm clock start for a certain player. I won't name any names, but you guys were still been throwing down a little bit. It's you two, and then who else rounds out your current roster right now?
We've got Gosu in the jungle, we've got Otter in the ADC or attacker role, and we've got Overlord in the top lane.
Cool. AI, awesome. Definitely names that everybody knows, especially if you're watching any of these tournament scenes. But yeah, you've gathered players from everywhere. Honestly, this team is kind of formed out of the ashes of Bad Macro Flippard, is that right?
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Okay. So, Bad Macro Flippard, you guys were for a team for a few months, right? You definitely had a reign of terror. You were definitely considered the number two team or number one team by some people. I may have advocated for you in a few Twitch chats to call you guys number one.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I got a little sick and tired of certain teams getting shout outs every second word from certain caster pairs. So I had to give you guys a little bit of a shout out. But yeah, so you guys have come from there and you've also played on a few other teams. So I just want to learn a little bit about your two history in Pokemon Unite. Talk to me a little bit about the teams you played with, some of the achievements you got, and just generally introduce yourselves. So, Snowpoints, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, this is actually an interesting one then. So the first time I heard of Dexter and Gosu was probably back in, I think, August.
Okay.
Or September.
Early Unite history. Okay.
Early Unite history. I think this was actually the biggest loss in a tournament I've ever had. Like, I've been upset with.
Okay.
And that was when the first VR tourney happened. It was us. I think we were called Snowpoints team back then.
Right.
And Dexter and Gosu played for a team called The End, which was Gosu, Dexter, First, Xavier G, and I think Worshin at the time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's where I heard of their names. And then I ended up joining PipChamps later down the line, which was me, Gosu, Brev, Sonata, and Sanji. And then next thing you knew, we had Bad Macro Flippard, which was basically PipChamps, but with Dexter.
Right.
And Chris Heroes as well, instead of Sonata.
Okay, cool. Yeah, having a couple of swap outs in both lanes, but definitely a really, like I said, solid roster, well-renowned. All right, Dexter, how about you? Why don't you give me a bit of an intro on you and your Unite history so far?
Well, I played the beta. I come out of the beta. We made a little team. What were we back then? We were DVS. Me, Heat, Gosu, Worshin, and Void.
Okay.
And then do that first, and then win Worshin as well. Someone would sub off every game.
Gotcha.
Do that first tournament, and then immediately after that first tournament, like a week, we make the end. And that's with me, Gosu, Kyler, Xavier, Worshin. And then that goes on for a while. And then that it splits in two without me, Gosu, Worshin, and Kyler, Xavier. Gotcha. I go with Kyler, Xavier. That's White Flag for a while.
Yeah, the first edition of White Flag Gaming, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
I actually don't remember the roster, that original roster. I really don't remember.
I was thinking about this. Yeah. I was
on
thinking,
White Flag.
That's true. That team may have the most roster changes out of any team so far.
Probably,
that has, like, kept their name. But recently, they've, like, changed their name. So Unfortunately, yeah. that can't stay any longer. So, yeah. Also, I've just realized with this introduction question of where I'm asking you to list your teams and teammates, this question may be proved to be the hardest out of any interview question in like just a few months, because players are switching up teams so much. It's going to be very, very challenging. So, bravo to the two of you for remembering your current history and how you found yourself on this team. But cool. So, talk to me a little bit about why this team formed in the first place. You were finding success on Bad Macro Flipbird, especially to the start of that team's career. You were finding a ton of value. I mean, the Bruv was really proving themselves as like the best mime in the game. Chris is just one of the best attackers, really good MOBA knowledge on a player like that. You guys were really rocking with it, but unfortunately the team had to split. Can we talk a little bit about why that happened?
Worlds.
Ah, yes.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All good things have to come to an end, I guess, right? So, yeah. So, with the heavily, heavily implied rumor, still technically not confirmed, just Worlds being region locked, you decided to form a completely NA roster. So, your team is all completely NA now, right? You're covered in that base. Cool. So, you guys are set up, and now you've started the grind. You've been playing on ladder a bunch. I've loved tuning into all your guys' streams, watching the climb. It's a ton of fun. And you have entered into one tournament thus far. That's correct, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. All right, well, I'm really, really excited to see you guys play in more tournaments, obviously. You have some of the best players out there. Dexter, I've always bragged about your Lucario as being you're one of the brainiest Lucarios out there, definitely. But recently you switched out of that top lane for this team, and now you're running that tank role. Talk to me a little bit about that. Are you, is that a comfortable role for you? Is it a weird flip?
Absolutely. Okay. Cool. I love the role.
Yeah? And what about it appeals to you?
Sorry, repeat the question?
Just what about that role appeals to you?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Okay, great. But you still have found some way to enjoy it, that right?
Yeah, it's fun down there instead of top lane. I don't have to deal with slow smoke as much.
That's true. I guess he gives you that out of slow smoke against some teams. I've seen some teams rocking two of them in the bottom lane, so I don't know how much you'll be able to work that. Recently, in the current meta, the tank position has been kind of a coin flip between Wiggly or Slowbro. Some people are still waving that Mammo flag high with a little bit of pride, trying to keep that character relevant and in play. But what kind of tank do you lean towards when you're playing in that bot lane?
Probably Slowbro every game.
Okay.
I'm much more comfortable on it because Slowbro has such an easy time dealing with Wiggly.
Okay, gotcha.
As long as, most teams are picking Wiggly.
Yeah.
So as long as they're picking Wiggly, I'll just pick Slowbro every game. Makes my life easy. I have no reason to pick anything else.
Yeah, that matchup makes it a lot easier to play against that Wiggly bottom lane.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Bradley, do you feel the same way? As an Eldegoss, do you feel more relaxed when you have a Slowbro in lane?
I mean, either one is fine. Wiggly, Slowbro.
Sure.
All feels the same. Just depends, I guess, how you want to play the lane.
Okay, gotcha. And so your team, now as an Eldegoss player, you've played with quite a variety of tanks in your bottom lane. I mean, you've played with Bruv, who is, an incredible mime player, definitely an aficionado on that role, but still one of the only players to really stick to it for a long given time. So you had to really flex to play with that mime. You played with the Slowbro, you've played with the Wiggly, I'm sure you've played with some Lax players in your time. At this point, but you're saying it's just pretty much all the same, just press your A button a little bit better than the other Eldegoss and you're good to go?
I guess the only tank that really stands out there is probably Mime. You have to play with Mime a bit more different.
Gotcha.
For example, once Mime peaks 4, you're basically just completely mashing A, because Mime has best secure in the game.
Yes, absolutely. Plus, more like that early spike is insane. And the fact that they have that secure and that they get it so immediately quick, but cool. All right, well, I want to dive a little bit deeper, though, into this Slowbro meta countering the Wiggly. Talk to me a little bit about why Slowbro matches up so well into Wiggly. From what I've watched and what I've tried to cast in games, what makes the most sense to me is that if Slowbro's getting stunned and slow smoked or whatever it is by Wiggly and just cute charmed, put it into a spot, Slowbro doesn't care all that much if it's stuck out of position, because the amount of HP, defense, and healing on that Pokemon is just absolutely ridiculous. Am I close to the mark, or is it for a completely different reason that you like running that Slowbro?
I think it's like three main reasons.
Okay.
One, he's ranged. Two, he's ranged and a tank.
Yeah.
And three, late game, you own Wiggly completely. You have full control of whether Wiggly plays the game or not.
That is true.
You just press that alt button, you win the game.
Yeah, I mean, shut down Wiggly, shut down Lucario, shut down Dragonite. Really, name your Pokemon that you were playing the man-to-man defense in that late game situation. That makes a lot of sense. So, that range effect on the main tank role. So, you have that secure ability, albeit not an incredible secure, but it does exist. And you get it from range. That's going to be helping your team because you don't need to leave your back line whatsoever, right?
Yeah, I can just shoot it over the wall real safe.
That's nice. You get to BM a little bit, play it nice and safe. You're not getting into those really nasty spots as Wigglytuff, who often sometimes has to get KO'd for the cause, if you will.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. But okay, so we were talking a little bit in the pre-show about something more exciting maybe than a Slowbro versus Wiggly discussion, even though as a tank player myself, I actually love talking about those differences. Maybe not the most exciting or electric role to watch the micro gameplay of. What might be a little bit more exciting is this top lane role. So Dexter, I know you played this role a lot, but not currently for this team. Bradley, I know that you are desperately crying for this player to come to the bottom lane whenever you actually indeed something happened, but we've seen a lot of rotation in this top lane recently. We've seen the Lucario be a mainstay for a long time, but we've seen Serena rise up to combat it a little bit, maybe not so much in recent days, but the recent fighter who you are claiming, Dexter, has been a champion in that top lane for a lot longer than this is the Machamp. Talk to me about why you think Machamp is the best top laner in the game right now.
He's always had a better secure on Crab.
Okay.
Even since before now, like how Crab doesn't really matter as much now. Mm-hmm. It'll get you five at that at the tower.
Yeah.
Rather than when you go back.
Mm-hmm.
But even before, when you had to get Crab to get five, he had a better secure. And no one realized it. And I played a game with Machamp. And I was like, wait, you can't meteor mash me. I win.
Yeah, so the not meteor mesh is due to that recent change to bulk up, right? Where you are immune to these crowd control abilities.
Bulk up's always done that.
Always.
The fact that Karate Chop does more now and meteor mesh does less. He has such a hard time out securing the chop.
Gotcha. Okay, so that little guy is doing a lot of work. Okay, so
yes.
Dexter, I know that you are one of Machamp's biggest fans. You love playing that character. Bradley.
Absolutely.
Bradley, as a, let's call it an unbiased bot lane player, what would you rather have rotating down and to help you in these situations, or just general team comp? Do you like the Lucario or the Machamp better?
Honestly, I think both of them are very viable in top lane.
Sure.
Like, I don't have any hatred towards Machamp at all.
Okay.
I think for first tread, maybe Lucario is better just for the secure. I'm not really sure how well Machamp secures first red compared to Lucario, but...
Okay.
Actually. Kind of just got to do it properly, though.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it here first, Machamp players. If you want to secure first red, just do it good, and then it'll work. So
just jump in and hope. It's usually what I do.
But... All right, I don't know how convincing the argument of just jump in and hope is, but I will roll with it for now. I'll believe in it a little bit more. I'll level 30 those items. Actually, okay, that is something I want to talk about. What kind of item build, Dexter, are you putting on that Pokemon to make them viable in that top lane?
So every single game, I hate Focus Sash. Please, if you're playing Machamp, do not run Focus Sash. You are trolling yourself.
Man, these takes are a lot hotter than I think you think they are, Dexter.
I don't care.
Okay.
That item?
No Focus Ban.
If you're running that item, it means you're scared of losing lane, which is fine. I can get that. But there's no point. It's so low value late game.
Okay, so the no focus band, and so what is being run in lieu of that item?
Back weight, buddy barrier, and recently I've been trying scope lens.
Okay.
And it feels pretty good because I like cross chop a lot more.
Gotcha.
I think if I don't 100% want to go cross chop, I think I'll just go weakness policy.
Okay, yeah. Weakness policy is going to do a lot of work, especially when Lucario's trying to punch and, you know, throw you off your game in that lane. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Okay, yeah, well, call me cult member. I'm drinking a little bit of the Kool-Aid, I think. I might have to become a believer in the Machamp, but I guess we need to see it played out in tournament. But we have seen it being played more and more, actually. I mean, we've seen you on it, Dexter. I've seen Overlord playing that Machamp quite a bit. I've seen Sanji playing it. I've seen Seryu playing it. Definitely a lot of notable players have been adopting it more and more and more. So maybe it's not as hot of a take as I was making it when we first started this discussion, but becoming a little bit more of the wave. So hey, meta changes are exciting, albeit terrifying for some teams, but
play Garchomp.
Okay, so that is another top lane Pokemon we had talked about, is the Garchomp. So let's talk about it, actually. Shiny Finale just happened, probably the biggest tournament to happen thus far in Unite. I mean, G4 had a little bit more of that prize pool, but it was that wacky format. Shiny Finale had history behind it, qualification games, huge tournament, ended up being, unfortunately, kind of your last hoorah as Bad Macro Flipbird at the time. But Team Shiny was able to take it, running a lot, or not that tournament, but Team Shiny was able to get to the second place, running a lot of that Garchomp jungle. Okay, does Garchomp belong in this jungle? Is this a viable Pokemon?
Man, Overlord be running Garchomp in the top lane.
Yeah.
He doesn't even run in the jungle.
Yeah.
If you go Garchomp jungle, you have to go Dig Earthquake. There's no other way around it. Okay. You can't go Dragon Roost. And then you have to stay ahead, which gotcha. Is different.
Garchomp. Yeah. Yeah, Garchomp's going to have that difficulty, especially early on. Like, you have to find that lead, and it is a desperate search for that lead. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, but maybe a viable option. We'll see. I mean, we've seen a lot of Pokemon become viable recently, which is pretty exciting. We've seen a lot more Charizard, which can be a lot of fun, but that's cool. Let's talk about a little bit about your jungle. So you've had Gosu on your team for a long time. Snow Points, you've played with Gosu for quite some time now, like more than half of your Unite career at this point, right?
Yeah.
Cool. It's weird to say, why are they still on your team? But, I mean, Gosu's an incredible player. What parts of your jungler play do you like in Gosu?
He's just mechanically, like, one of a kind, I'd say.
Yeah?
I don't think there's any jungler. Maybe Rin, but
sure.
That's about it. I don't think any other jungle matches Gosu mechanically on the characters he plays.
Cool. Yeah, that's some good guess. I've come to agree, though. I really do think, and honestly, that might be my description of your entire team, is you have some, like, mechanically gifted god players on your team. You kids are cracked on the sticks. Absolutely. So I'm excited to see this team take off. Also, I keep saying this team. Guys, you gotta give me a team name soon. I mean, I'm trying to make content on this game, right?
You don't have anything.
You gotta hook me up here. We'll find it.
We thought about it, and then no one had an answer, so we just haven't talked about it.
Ah, shoot.
Yep.
That'll happen. Just play one tournament, find a good inside joke from comms, run it up. Should be good.
Well,
to go.
That's what we did with Bad Macro Flipper. That's what we got the name.
It was, like, from a goof tweet, right? Like,
yep.
Yeah, okay.
We lost to him in a tournament.
Uh-huh.
Because we killed three of their team, and we flipped Zapdos.
Uh-huh.
And he tweeted out saying, flipping the bird is an excuse for Bad Macro. So we just had the idea of making the team name Bad Macro Flipbird.
Oh, man. So with Pokemon Unite being such a small community, it definitely has the dark side of that, I think, of, you know, too many people knowing, too many people talking. But some of the good sides of having a really small community is that two top teams can name each other in spite. And I think that's hilarious. So I'm glad that we got a little bit of philosophy to that. So last thing that we all want to talk about in terms of meta a little bit is just a little bit of a transition off of the current meta that we're running in tournaments, all that kind of thing, is Pokemon releases. Pokemon Unite's actually been doing a pretty solid job, in my opinion, of pushing out new Pokemon. Not every Pokemon has been insanely impactful off the beginning, but the sheer amount of Pokemon that we've had since launch is pretty impressive, in my mind. I mean, you can have whatever opinion you want on it, but we've definitely had a little bit of versatility add to the game at this point. We're having Aegislash being released in the next few weeks, probably. I don't think that's actually confirmed by the account, but lots and lots of data mine leaks. We have that incoming information. But currently, the tournament standard has been that a Pokemon, if they are released, are banned from tournaments for at least a week, sometimes up to 2 weeks, depending on the tournament organizer. What do you think about this situation? I know in other esports has done a lot lot of the time because teams need time to practice with these new champs, heroes, agents, whatever you want to call them. And it just does, in the terms of competitive integrity, that's why these characters are banned. But in Pokemon Unite, I mean, we're not traveling for tournaments. We're not, you know, there's no, like, streamer houses, content days, anything like that to take away from practice time. As soon as a Pokemon is released, pretty much every competitive player has their hands on the controller, trying it out in the training mode, in offline, whatever they need to. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Snow Points, why don't you kick it off? What do you think about this 1 to 2 week ban on new Pokemon?
I don't hate it for the reason that there's typically almost always a bug whenever Pokemon Unite drops a new patch.
That is true. I guess that is the second giant reason that right. Pokemon are being banned. Okay, so you're in favor of it with often this unfortunately bug-ridden game that we are playing.
Correct. Yes. I don't mind it.
Okay, gotcha. All right, how about you, Dexter?
I think it makes complete sense due to the lack of a PBE in the game.
Yeah.
If you go to League Champ Drops, you're on PBE for a week or two.
Yep,
that makes all sense. The bugs are found. They get dropped. There's more bugs, but that's Riot's problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much any MOBA dev, champ dev. Yeah, that happens. But okay, yeah. Cool. So, all right. So you guys are in favor of it, and you might be convincing me a little more too. I was always of the opinion just drop it. Like it'll be fine. But in this case, I definitely think that we should exhibit a little more caution. That makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah, with the amount of bugs that we've had, Zeraora at this point should just be transferred out for a new Pokemon in terms of how many bugs that Pokemon has dealt this game. It has gotten a little ridiculous at this point. But
I think at the beginning, like, it was kind of ridiculous, though. Like, I remember when Wiggly came out, like, no one could play that character for, like, months and tourneys.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was always Lux Cram meta when everyone started playing Wiggly more.
Okay. The meta was wild. But okay, let's talk about this current team that you guys got. So this roster, like we said, I've been mentioning their names quite a bit. We've talked about Gosu. We've talked about Overlord a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Otter, another traditionally top lane player. Like we said, you've been really... if Bradley was a Pokemon Unite gym leader, you would be the top lane gym leader in terms of all of that you've collected. So well done on that. But Otter, I know, was filled in for a couple of tournaments when Dexter maybe slept in. So you're definitely familiar with that player. Cool. Talk to me a little bit about Otter and what they bring to the table.
Oh, I love Otter. Yeah? I think Otter is very smart when it comes to his game awareness, and I think he is probably the best attacker we could have asked for.
Cool.
Although he is, you know, not completely familiar playing the characters he's playing, I think for the week or two he's been playing the characters, he's been playing at a high level, so...
Awesome. Signature heroes that Otter kind of brings? I know the top lane, but what do they favor in this attacker role right now?
Otter plays the most crazy Vunu Solar Beam you will ever see. He beams everyone.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited to watch some Solar Beam gameplay. That move is so fun, no matter what. Spectating that move, amazing, by the way. Because in this game, and I have no zoom out feature and spectate tools, I'm just yelling that it probably KO'd somebody. I don't know. There's no way for me to tell. But probably it's hitting something. So I'm excited to see that come. That's gonna be awesome. Okay, so your roster is formed and all set to go. Hopefully some players, you know, you got running with you, gonna be there for tournaments for sure. But okay. The top teams in ANA right now. I mean, we have TTV, obviously. We got Aphelion up there, Team Shiny as well. We got IX Gaming and Bulbian Crew. We got Waterspout now. There's definitely a huge roster of strong NA teams. EU's got their good teams, but at the moment, if it comes to a world's grind, they're not going to be your direct competition. If you're looking at the rest of the teams in your NA batch, is there any specific team that you... I don't want to say scared of, because I don't want a typical, you know, I'm not scared of anybody. But any team that you're really excited to match up against. Do you think, as well, that you could, with this roster, take down any other team in your NA pool?
The teams that I want to play the most are probably TTV and Shiny.
Cool.
And for your second question, I would not be trying out for Worlds if I wasn't confident that we could beat the competition we're playing against. So
Awesome.
that answers your
Yeah.
question, I guess.
No, that's a really good question. It's a really good answer to a really terrible question. So good job on that. How about you, Dexter?
Can you ask the question again?
Yeah, just
Sorry, my
basically
cat's
what?
distracting me.
No, that's the best distraction in the world. No, I was honestly asking what teams in this NA pool of other top teams are you most excited to match up against?
Yeah, same answer as Bradley, TTV and Shiny.
TTV and Shiny. Okay, cool. Yeah. Both of those teams, I mean, TTV obviously long storied history. Everybody knows their name, everybody knows those players. Team Shiny, like I said, they've been that really well-respected team from players and people who are really familiar with Unite, but they didn't really find as much tournament success until like really recently. But talk to me a little bit about that. Why is Team Shiny such a huge name in the scene? Is it because of this huge win, or are the players on it just that good and just like ranked ladder demons?
Because they're good.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think having Elo play on the roster is also a big reason why
Yeah.
they've had a lot of success. I think Elo's a really good player.
Yeah, Elo with that triple damage build. You know, he's a pretty terrifying Cinderace player for sure, and I'm sure on more. I just that's the one that specifically comes to mind when I'm thinking of that mod. And then not to mention, you mentioned Rin as being a huge attacker role player, just but can flex to that jungle as well. They definitely have that flexibility to boot. So a strong
Oh, yeah.
team. Yeah, Dexter, I actually had Team Shiny on for episode one of this podcast, and I was talking with Retsu a little bit. I heard that you two were a little bit like Lucario buddies, sharing
Oh, that's
the
my best friend up there.
Oh yeah, Retsu sharing the secret strats with you guys, finding ways to
Exactly.
get ahead of the game. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, I'm glad that there is still some friendly competition within the scene. Doesn't have to be all toxic and terrifying, so that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff, good
Rin,
stuff.
Retsu, those are the homies for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, those are good homies to have, especially because of how talented they are. I'm really excited to see you guys match up in a tournament upcoming. It's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. Okay, cool. So let's talk about a little bit about your team's prep. I know you said you've been grinding rank ladder. Has the team attempted any scrim time whatsoever?
We're planning on scrimming TTV, I think, sometime next week.
Okay, cool. Well, and that will be your first block of scrims with this team?
Correct.
Basically, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, okay, and just special shout out, I could tell you this off the podcast or not, but if you to you or any players that are listening to this in like live stream or podcast form, if you are running scrims and you want like spectate mode VODs of those scrims, hit me or my co-caster Dupesnax up. We are trying to find more content to spectate and cast over. So we would love to record your scrims for you and do some commentary video of them. So just putting that out there into the ether as well. So because yeah, you know, with this like new tournament like mode being put into the game, like we have to get admin permission if we're gonna spectate people in tournaments, and like we don't want to overstep and get tournament organizers mad at us for something like that. So if you guys are scrimming and you want it recorded, let us know. But yeah. Okay, cool. So you're scrimming up against TTV. Have you matched up against them on ladder much this season
Yeah,
yet?
we played them a bit on ladder. I don't know how many games, but I think we went like 2-2 or something like
Okay,
that.
cool. Yeah, you're getting to that even point in the game. That's really exciting. That's awesome. So, is the team, are you guys like, what is the biggest thing that you need to work on now? You're a newer roster, albeit like three of you have played together quite a bit on a previous team, but you're adding two more players in and having to fill a little bit. What's the biggest thing your team needs to work on right now? Is it calling? Just normal chemistry? Is it just map rotation, macro stuff? What are we looking at?
Late game chemistry, I'd say.
Okay, gotcha. Not panicking in those last few moments.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm not really panic. It's more like we're not always doing it.
Sometimes we make a like a grief
It's like
mistake and
always split calls. That's the only problem we ever have late game.
Okay,
Yeah.
gotcha. Let's talk about the calling structure then, because I've had a couple of teams on this, and I love to talk about the actual inner workings that we don't get to see on an official broadcast or something like that. But I mean, we had Aphelion on, and they are pretty much like a central, like Rex is like the central calling structure for that team, doing most of the macro stuff, calling out the whole game. Whereas Team Shiny is a little bit of everybody throwing in stuff at any time. We got Faz, you got Rin talking the whole time, making play calls, discussing, having that small talk even mid-game. How about your team when it comes to calling? Do you have sort of a main shot caller on the squad, or is it a little bit of everybody pitching in?
Everyone, I'd say.
Yeah?
I don't really think we have a main shot caller. Just whoever has something pop into their head, it's usually set out or spoken out, and we go from there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Cool. I mean, that makes a lot of sense with what we discussed about your team being this mechanically gifted. I guess it doesn't really matter that much who's calling, just as long as you have the trust in your teammates that they can make that call work and will capitalize on it. So that's cool. I'm sure the late game will come for you guys. I mean, if you're winning that early game, it's going to make that late game a whole lot easier for you. So you might have the harder stuff already taken care of. So that's great. Okay, let's talk about why this roster formed in the first place, and that is the announcement of Worlds. So, we have the announcement of Worlds, we have the prize pool rumored. I know it was that $1 million prize pool was definitely rumored. I don't know if that was confirmed to be solely for Unite, or if that was going to be split amongst all of their actual, like, events that were going to be at Pokemon World Championships. I wasn't sure if that was going to go to TCG and VGC as well, but whatever, once we get the official announcement, we can go from there. But Worlds is upcoming, and that's why your squad was built in the first place. So, have any of you competed at, not as like a world championship level before, but any game have you competed at like a regional level, something like that? Like tournaments, you know, actually going to tournaments, finding a team for any other game? Or is Pokemon Unite the first game that you've done something like this for?
I'm horrible at everything else. This is my first.
Okay, nice. All right. Well, we found the greener pastures for Dexter. How about you, Snow Points?
Yeah, this is a first for me, but I'm excited for it.
Cool.
We'll see how it goes.
Cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, that's really cool that you've never found it in gaming otherwhere, but, like, that competitive nature has got to come from somewhere. Have you guys, you know, been competing in anything else growing up? Did you play sports, or were you, like, you know, into card games, board, things like that? Or is this just, if Pokemon Unite light that fire in the first place?
I've played a bunch of MOBAs.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, you've been a grinder, as I've been told before. You play pretty much any game under the sun. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. How about you, Snow Points?
Growing up, I played lacrosse and basketball, and gaming-wise, I played a lot of Overwatch. I peaked, like, mid-masters in Overwatch, but that's as far as it goes for any other competitive games.
Cool, nice. As the only other casting I've done for games is in Overwatch, that's awesome. I love hearing that the Overwatch kids can find success in other places, because I love that. I still have a heart for that game. It's really great. But sweet, that's awesome. I'm really glad you guys have found something to strive for, and this is a pretty big thing to strive for. We have Worlds all the way at the end. We are still unsure, though, of what the road really looks like to get there. Maybe you guys as players have a little bit more intel than I do, but I don't know. So what do you guys think that the road being laid out to Worlds should look like in terms of qualifications to actually get to the event? Would you guys like to see something akin to the Shiny League, where it's a series of tournaments that you enter and earn points in, or would you rather see qualification tournaments, one for each region? So we have a qualification tournament in North America. You have to get top two there to earn your spot to be able to actually go represent the region in London in later on in the year, or would it be something that you would like to have multiple chances to earn points for and make it there? Because the one I just mentioned, earning points over some cut time, is how Pokemon has traditionally worked in terms of trading card game, in terms of their video game and Pokken. But this is a 5-person squad is something completely new to a Pokemon competitive franchise. So what are your guys' thoughts on the qualification system incoming for Worlds?
I like the point system a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It makes complete sense. It simplifies everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's easy.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
You know, if you need points, you go do this tournament. If you don't feel like you're ahead, you don't need to do this next one. You should probably do them all.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the only, like, worrisome thing at that point is just that there's not that much time between now and August. So,
just
and with
a few months, yeah.
Yeah, with no announcement of anything, I think it's looking more and more like we might just have one big qualification tournament to start it off or anything like that. But Snow Points, what would you rather see?
I'd rather have the point system as well. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's more dependable if you want accurate results of who's the best team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's always going to be... aggregate's always going to be better than just someone spiking a tournament, right? Especially if they can be spread out, if we get to see these teams operate in multiple metas, you know, because otherwise you get blessed with a really beautiful balance patch for your team. That's great for you, really awful for some of these other teams who are historically doing great. So, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So your vote would definitely be in the camp of multiple chances to qualify, earning points. You have to be consistent, and you have to be consistently the best. I think that makes a lot of sense. Okay, cool. Actual Worlds format. We haven't seen this implemented into Pokemon Unite, the actual game, yet, but we've seen some tournaments try it out. What are your guys' thoughts on draft? Current setting in the game.
Ooh,
are your opinions on draft? I've asked this question on both episodes so far, and I've had some really varying answers. So we've seen a lot of examples of it. We've seen G4 do blind pick global ban. We've seen a tournament. We saw the Jake Dude Invitational do just like a typical snake draft with two bans. What are your guys' thoughts on draft? Why don't you kick it off, Snow Points?
I really like draft.
Okay.
Personally.
Gotcha.
I think it favors more people that are more adaptable on other characters in the game,
mm-hmm.
rather okay. than other people who are just have been playing only like Lucario there's a lot of Eldegoss players who have literally only played Eldegoss.
Mm-hmm.
Since like release. So
that's true.
It's fun to see.
To like, their credit, potentially maybe the only viable choice to be doing, but yes. they have only been rocking that one spot. So, okay, gotcha. So you like the proving ground that it provides to show if you can be the best at multiple roles and like learn the macro a little bit using a different tool each time. I gotcha.
For sure.
Okay, cool. How about you, Dexter?
I really like draft. Mm-hmm. I think it lets you get rid of all the one tricks. You can't play anything else. It's amazing.
Right.
You know, if you're going up against a team with a guy who can't play anything but, say, Lucario.
Sure, let's just say that one is an example.
He's not a player
sure.
anymore. Makes your life easier.
Okay.
Remove him from the game.
Yeah, no, that's really nice. Okay, so we like these. We like the bans specifically. What? How about that? What if, because I will not play devil's advocate because I don't think there's really any antagonist in this situation, but the obvious point that always gets brought up is we have two actual healing supports in the game. That's the only two role we have. Now, in episode one, I was talking to Feppy about this, and he was making the claim that, well, you don't technically need that support. You don't need that healing support in this game every game. I mean, if you have the option, you're gonna take it. But this Pokemon Unite is actually pretty solid for giving your team a ton of free healing. I mean, your towers heal you in this game. There's berries on a minute cooldown that heal like half your HP bar. And even getting back from base takes almost no time considering like the actual MOBA standard that we see in a lot of these games. So it's definitely viable, but would you rather... is there a world where just a ban exists and not actually a drafting system, so we have two unique teams going up against each other?
Like, let's say Eldegoss is banned at blind pick?
Yeah, something like that. Basically, because if we're giving that draft, like we have chances for healer hate, those kind of things. What do you prefer? Do you prefer to have both teams be able to draft their own individual team back and forth, snake style, that we see other MOBAs doing? Or do you not think the roster size is capable for that yet?
I think it depends on the amount of bans.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's spitball. Let's say the standard right now that I've seen is two bans. Do you think two bans is too
two
much?
Bans is good.
Two bans is good.
Yeah,
okay.
Two bans is fine.
Really? Okay.
Anything awesome. Over it though, I feel
one,
like it's
one kind much. Of forces.
Okay, bang. So one's too restrictive then. Okay, so you like so one is too restrictive, it becomes kind of rote. There's no strategy to it, you just have to ban certain things. But three is too much, we lose too many Pokemon. You think two is that sweet spot?
Yeah, currently.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I think that's really cool. All right, so two bans is the play. Two bans in a snake draft, that is going to be Snow Points and Dexter's currently unnamed team's vote in terms of if they get one for the upcoming World's Grind. So that's exciting. I like to hear that. I would love to cast a draft format. I will say I'm actually one of the few people in the world that I think I enjoy watching mirror matches a lot. I think it's really exciting. I like seeing different teams try to prove that they are slightly the better team playing the exact same thing. It's very exciting to me. I like watching people play the best available Pokemon in the game. Though draft is way more exciting globally, and I will admit to that, and that is fair. So I'm excited to see it either way, but either way, I know your team is going to grind and try to be the very best at whatever format is handed in front of you. So that's really exciting to see. Cool. Guys, we are coming up on the end of our show. I've taken up like 40-ish minutes of your time already, so thank you so much for joining me. I just want to close out on one more question before I give you a chance to sell out and plug whatever you need to. We have a lot of people watching this show. I've gotten some comments and things like that of not just professional players watching this, but also just players that are on the rank grind, on the come up, trying to find their chance to become a player like you, you know? They want to grow up in their ranked experience to become like you two. But basically, I just want to get one tip from both of you on in your role. Dexter, you can choose whichever role you want. You've played
pretty much all of them.
All right, sounds good. Just what is a good way to go from a good player to a great player? Something that'll help you enter into tournaments and things like that. All right, Dexter, why don't you start? You can tackle top lane, bottom lane, whichever one you want.
For bot lane, you have to play like it's a league. Your health, it's a resource, and the XP is essentially gold. You have to notice how much health you're allowed to lose for an Audino, for every Audino.
Okay.
From the beginning of the game all the way until the end, you have to learn how much health you're allowed to lose and how much health you actually will lose because they're different. You might want to lose like 10-20% of your health, but you'll lose like half. Because something happens.
Yeah, you got a budget, definitely.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. As a card game player, and I actually may have saw you playing some Runeterra earlier today, Dexter. I love that game.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, the game rules. I love that game. But anyway, that any card game, the same idea, right? Any strategy game, really, at this point, because the MOBA's anything, health is just one of your many resources that you have to spend. It's a little bit riskier to spend that one, but it can get you a lot of value. So that makes a lot of sense. How about top lane? Do you got a top lane tip for us? That's not just play Machamp forehead.
I don't know. You know, because against certain players that have certain tips.
Sure.
Like overall, you should. Okay. You should learn what your teammates are doing.
Ah, yeah.
Because
hard
there,
skill for a top laner, being the only
the
one
only
up there.
The only person in top lane that has any idea what's going on is you and your jungler.
Right.
You don't know what's going on bot lane. You don't know if they're winning. You don't know if they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you rotating is dangerous. You have to think in their shoes the whole game.
Okay, cool.
Especially if you have something like a Pikachu. You have to realize, oh, he only has this much range. I can't go this far. If I go this far, this Pikachu is useless to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to die because I'm on my own.
Okay, cool. I like that thought a little bit. I think the trend I'm seeing when I ask top laners this is don't be as selfish as our reputation makes us look. So
yes, do not be selfish either. Give your jungler farm.
Right. Well, okay, that's a big one. That's a really big one. Give that jungler farm. Okay, Bradley, Snow Points, talk to me about this support role. You've become one of the best Eldegosses in the game at this moment. How'd you do it? What's your secret?
I'd say most Eldegoss players look over the fact of how broken Leaf Tornado is.
Ah, yes.
Especially once you peak level 11, in a meta where Cinderace has been strong for so long, one Tornado can make the character a lot less strong than how it is typically played.
That makes sense. That you're talking about that blind effect, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, it feels so good to see that miss keyword come up on a Pokemon once you hit it. That's really good. Okay. Awesome. All right. So don't underestimate Leaf Tornado. So I'm sorry. I don't need to dig a little bit deeper. What exactly do you mean by that? Are you saying use it in more creative ways? Are you saying it use it way more? How are you wanting to utilize Leaf Tornado in a way that's not underestimating its value?
Well, it can be used for a lot of things, such as securing enemies' Audinos or top Audinos.
Yeah.
But I think the main point I was making is towards that 2-minute mark where you have the big team fight that defines the game.
Mm-hmm.
Um, For example, if we have Cinder versus Cinder and my tornado hits their Cinder, my jungler will typically win the engagement every time if they're near the same level.
Makes sense. Cool. Okay, so yeah, don't underestimate your impact in that team fight either. Okay, gotcha.
Right.
Eldegoss is a carry. I like it. Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me, guys. This is your chance now to sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do. Plug your stream, plug your Twitter, plug whatever you want to. Dexter, why don't you kick us off?
I don't know. You go first, Bradley.
Okay. My Twitter is Snowpoints with two W's, and my Twitch is just Snowpoints, so you can catch me there.
Cool. Awesome. Tune into top Eldegoss gameplay. Okay, Dexter, any plugs that you got? It's chill. If not, you just shout out your cat, who is apparently adorable, but...
Yes, he's causing me a lot of trouble right now.
Oh, that rambunctious
cat. Knocking all my games off.
Oh, well... They want the attention. I don't want to steal it from you anymore. I want to give it back to your cat. So thank you so much for you guys joining me. My name has been Zoinks, and this has been Overdug Episode 3 with currently unnamed team, but you're going to know their name because they're going to start tearing up the NA region very soon. Guys, if you want to see more pro Pokemon Unite content, be sure to tune into the Unite Mike's YouTube. Everything lives there. We have pro games. We have top competitive tournament games from all the way back to the dawn of Pokemon Unite. It's the greatest place to go back, look at top player footage from whatever meta you want, as well as more episodes of this show and more episodes of my co-caster Dupe Snack's show, Late Night Unite, where Kid Tans was just the guest on last week. We're getting more personalities on there and more top teams on this show. So thank you so much for tuning in there. We're now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff, rate, review, all that good stuff. But thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
See you guys.
Bye.